Guarding him there is Jones. Waiting out. Curry. 10 on the shot clock. 12.6 on the game clock. Lost the ball. Goes to the deck. Gets the ball back. Pulls it up. Deflected. Loose ball. Curry finds Livingston. Lob. He threw it up and he banked in. It banked in. The lob banked in for Livingston. The bucket's good for Livingston with 3.5 to go. Ridiculous. Jones for three at the buzzers off the rim. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Graham. With me as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And I am fired up to introduce for the very first time a man who has covered every Warriors practice, home game, and press conference since 2013, the founder of Let's Go Warriors and the newest addition to the Huddle team at Poor Man's Commish. What's going on, Poor Man's?
Hey, glad to be here finally.
I tell you right now, like I said, I'm fired up to have you. I'm really excited for it, but I feel like I'm interviewing like the shadow at Poor Man's Commish. That is a very kind of like elusive, shady name, man. Where's that coming from?
Oh, yeah, very shady. No. That's just, I run basketball leagues, so I'm a commissioner. So I like to think of myself as a poor man's David Stern.
Oh, there
but,
you go.
You know, in the league, sometimes you go, somebody's playing like Scott's playing, and you go, oh, man, that's a poor man's Brandon Rush or whatever. Probably not the right comp. Right?
Probably a poor man's Danny Ainge is the best comparison I've got.
No, Brandon Rush, I'll take immediately. I mean, really what I was talking crap about, and then we'll move immediately to the Warriors, and I will denigrate myself here because I've never dropped my own last name on this show, so being somewhat secretive isn't beyond me. But do you think we'll ever actually be able to throw out your real name? Are we going to earn that at some point, or are we going to hide behind the Twitter handle for a while?
Oh, we'll hide for a little
bit.
It's earnable.
Okay, there you go.
It's earnable.
Well,
yeah.
Scott, I put that on you, man. You need to earn this fool's real name at some point. Here's my first name for you, or my first question, I should say, and it's an important one. What's a better nickname? Scotty D, and D stands for Dunleavy, or PBS, Panic Button Scotty. What do you think?
Oh, PBS, easy. Yeah.
Or PBS. What was option C? Neither.
Okay, or neither. What do you think? Does that change your mind at all?
PBS.
Yeah, that a boy. I like it. All right, enough nonsense. Let's jump in, and I want to start here. I think the biggest news of the day is that today is officially Kevin Durant has been medically cleared to return day. The Warriors are saying that he can go right back to full-bore practice, and we are now expecting him back for Saturday's game against the Pelicans, yeah?
Man, that's exciting. Oh. That's just the buzz that's going to be at Oracle. It's going to be off the charts.
One, let's start with your access. Have you seen this guy around the practice facility? How's KD looking for your eyes?
Yeah, I've posted a couple updates on our YouTube channel, but yesterday he was out there early shooting around in Phoenix. Looked great. Great as the last two or three times that we've seen him. And before that was the sort of closed door. Turns out it was probably 4-on-4. Monty Poole thought it was 5-on-5. I thought it was 5-on-5, just counting the number of people involved. But Mike Brown came by and told us, basically said, man, you forget that we still have this guy.
And
the things he can do. So he was a little giddy.
And what they can't see, because it's not a video podcast, but it's worth throwing out there, is how broadly you were smiling as Mike Brown there. You said you counted. Who was involved? Who played in that game?
So you have 5 assistant coaches or trainers.
Okay.
One of them is Jaron Collins, Chris DeMarco, and 3 Willie Green, and 2 other trainers whose names I don't know yet.
Okay.
And then you had Ian Clark, Patrick McCaw, McAdoo, Zaza, and KD.
And are they mixed up, or are the players playing the assistant coaches?
So we didn't know that.
Yeah.
They dropped the curtain on us even for that.
And you got to figure that's probably how they're going, right? So that they're remaining as careful as possible. Either way, the guy's coming back and he looks good.
Yeah, and they did that with Steph last year too when he came back from the MCL. So, you know, you kind of want to keep it. Too many rumors will fly.
Yeah, sure.
Otherwise.
What's kind of nice is there's been enough like workouts and practices he's been involved in, and he stayed on schedule to the point where you think his knee is it's taking a lot of impact now, and it's holding up. Because that was the thing I was most worried about is, okay, how does it actually hold up after repeated use?
Sure. Yeah. Well, and you know, the Warriors are crazy careful. I mean, this iteration of the Warriors, you know, that they don't rush anybody back, that they tend to not give any information unless they're on the money about it. So if they're saying this guy's ready to come back Saturday, he must be full bore. I also kind of, I am giddy like Mike Brown because I like that we have access, that we can kind of just casually mention who he was playing against in practice. This is good stuff, man. But a lot of this was adding up to this exact question. And I wanted to set up the PBS thing, Scott, because it's one for you to start off with. When Kevin Durant joins the team on Saturday, I think we can all agree, give him a little while, get him back in this. By the second round, you know, the Warriors will be better to have him. But when he joins the team on Saturday, immediately, do the Warriors get better? Do they stay the same, or do they get worse in your mind?
Who's Kerr going to play on Saturday, and who is he not going to play? Because I would like to see him rest. I think he should rest Clay and Steph on Saturday. Just let KD come out, mess around for a little bit, and then you bring Steph and Clay back the next week.
Assume everyone's planned, that it's a normal game, rotations are the same. We just replace either Barnes or Patrick McCaw in the lineup with Kevin Durant. Are we better immediately?
On paper, you're better for sure. Obviously, but who knows what happens? Who knows how long it'll take these guys to get back in the flow? I'm not the person to answer that.
I mean, I'm being cute because I do, as optimistic as I've been, and I think they will be a much better team down the line, I think initially they're going to have to take a step back. And I think it's just a functional reality. I mean, what we're seeing right now with this team without Durant is a stapled in hierarchy on offense. We go to Steph, let him work his magic. If it doesn't happen, we go to Clay, and then so on and so forth. And it's something that we didn't have quite enough time to do during the regular season with Durant. So I think it's going to be interesting to see working him back in, right?
Yeah, well, Mike Brown did express that little concern there. And then Monty Poole says, oh, it'll take him a half.
Do you agree with that?
You know what? We'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was that quick. And plus, they're playing the Pelicans too, right?
Yeah,
so it could be a bit of a pickup game style thing.
Yeah,
or
sure.
Scrimmage.
What do you think?
Devolve.
What do you think it does to the psyche of these guys, though, if they have a 12-game winning streak going, and KD comes back and results in the first loss? That's why I think you rest Steph and Clay, just so you have a nice little excuse.
The hedge. You're still doing the Steve Kerr rest people excuse thing.
Apparently he doesn't care about the self-esteem of his players.
Let's at least save that fight for a minute. I will say, and this is more of an illustration of how neurotic I am, if I was Durant, this is worst case scenario. Like, it's great that they're playing this well, and this is the exact momentum you want going into the playoffs. So for the team, it's best case. But for Durant, they've won, you know, they're looking as hot as they've been. They're on this magical streak, and now he has to come in. It's hard to make them better. You know, I'd be all nervous about slowing him down. He won't, again, don't get me wrong. He is an amazing player, but that's at least on the table. There's got to be some, you know, concern for him there.
Maybe. Well, back to your point about resting guys, I think the media kind of thinks that Lacob doesn't want Kerr resting any of the stars at home. So there's that. So if that's true, then let's say Steph and Clay are going to play.
Yeah.
So then how do you work in the rotation? So there's already some talk about, do you do quick spurts for Durant, subbing him out and then sort of back in, or it gets complicated, but Mike Brown is out there, and he said that he has this rotation tool that he uses, which I think is like a spreadsheet of some sort. He got it from Rick Carlisle.
Nice.
So he sets that up, and there's all these, there's this big plan that they have, and it can go awry, and then they got to ditch it, but that's something they're going to really go over, through.
What we know for sure is that you can trust this coaching staff. I mean, they have absolutely set this. In fact, I was going to cover this later, but let's do it now. The Warriors did lock up the first seed. We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll talk about who their first-round opponent is going to be. But they also locked up the most successful three-year stretch in the history of the National Basketball Association. Not in the last 10 years, you know, not in the last, like, couple decades. Of all the teams that have ever played more than 3 years in a row, these guys have had more wins than them, right? And they also joined a very elite club. They are one of only four teams in history to have won 60-plus games. Here's why I'm mentioning that. There's one real large consistent. It's all under Coach Kerr, even though it was his first 3 years. This guy has had success at a level that no other coach has ever had at any point ever. But there are still people out there who critique him. They're taking shots at his rotations. They think that he's ridiculous for having rested players. Now, my question is a simple one. Has this guy been successful enough where people should stop critiquing him, or are fans always entitled to do that and I shouldn't be upset when they do so?
Well, I'm going to say that the more you hang around Steve Kerr in person, the more respect you have for him. Just the way he handles people, the way that he gives you respect. And so I've been around basketball for so long, and if a guy's winning that much, you know, I tend to just not question it. So I'll just bow down, and whatever you say is golden. That's you know, just keep winning. Okay, I'm done.
Rings, I want to see the rings.
True,
He's got one. He's got one.
He's got two finals. He went to two finals already. He may go to three straight finals.
Let's see what he does this year in the championship, because if they get to the championship, because that is what everyone is going to judge him on at the end of this.
So short version is yes, criticisms are absolutely justified still.
If he has some decision that he makes again, like putting Festus in game 7 to guard LeBron.
One game! Ah! Okay, I'm not surprised that you said it. What this feels like to me is if I had like a hot as model girlfriend, 10 out of 10, unbelievably gorgeous, and every time we talked about her, I said, you know what I don't like? Her left pinky toe. It's awful. It's kind of pointed to the left. There's like a mole on it, and I can't stand it. And everyone else was looking like, no, what are you talking about? She's 10 out of 10. It's like, nope. If you just look at this one little part down here, you will recognize that she is not perfect and she needs to fix it. I think we all need to take a step back and recognize the level of success this guy is bringing. It's unparalleled. You know, at least that has to start off the conversation, right? We at least have to start saying, well, he's amazing, and then, but I didn't like what he did with Festus in that one game.
That's true. You do have to start off praising him. But what if that model girlfriend put on like a massive number of pounds for a second? And then, you know, I don't really think it's your place to say anything there, but if some people then may say, okay, maybe she's not as attractive, you know, judge on the personality is what I would
say. Jesus, man. But this has been amazing, and don't you cut this, because women everywhere are going to hate you, and it hasn't really proven your point in any way, shape, or form.
I'm just saying, but then the weight comes. Whole husband done. The weight comes off, and all of a sudden.
Are you calling Kerr fat?
I'm just saying that decisions and your history don't necessarily always line up. So you may make a bad decision, and that deserves criticism. And Steve Kerr made some bad coaching decisions in the past.
And you hate fat women. Do you want to add that in the end or no?
I do not want to add that in the
end. No, okay. I mean, I just wanted to give you the open floor. This seems like a good time to go back to the resting only because of this. I don't know if you listened a couple weeks ago, but Scott and I had this huge fight, and he was a little bit more pessimistic than
no
I was
way.
When the Warriors were in the wrong
fight?
Place. And he's since maybe been proved wrong. He thought the Warriors would be sub-500. They weren't. He thought that they wouldn't get the first seed. They have. But there's one remaining thing, and it's whether or not Kerr should have arrested the players. We've heard your take. I want to play you one more, and then you tell me, final time we'll talk about this, whether or not Kerr was right to arrest him. Rest him in San Antonio. Here is Draymond Green on that topic specifically.
Draymond, you guys haven't lost since you all rested in San Antonio. You won 10 straight. Is it silly to suggest you guys resting had an impact on this winning streak?
The rest had everything to do with it. We got our energy back. We found, you know, that grit again. So rest more games. You know, it had everything. No.
What do you think?
Well, I think it sounds like you cut it off a little early. It sounds like Draymond goes on to actually start laughing and say no, but then you wanted to cut the quote off.
He makes a joke about whether or not they should be resting more games, and everybody laughs hysterically because it's a press conference. But assuming I didn't screw you on the actual quote, if Draymond does believe that it helped him, just like Kerr does and everyone else on the team, can we finally agree that he was right?
What helped them was the fact that they didn't get their ass smashed by San Antonio against the starters, and that mental move by Steve Kerr was a great one, and one that he needed to do. It wasn't these guys are 20-year-old professional athletes. They can play back-to-back games.
Did you hear Tim Roy, when he came on our show, talk about it?
Yeah, I did hear that.
Because yes. He wasn't talking about just this year. He said that it goes way beyond that. If you guys want to make sure now that they're looking at it medically and scientifically in a way that nobody ever has, and they want to elongate their careers, and somebody told them, this is the one of the ways you can do it.
Yeah, that's even what Pop if that's
true.
Said.
Okay, that's yeah. exactly right. That's what Pop said. So even if that's true, F them. These guys should play every game.
They definitely should have played that San Antonio game because you had the number two team, and you're the number one team, and you're just going to bow down like that?
Rich, my boy will stick to points, man. You should know that. Yeah, you should know that now. This is fun to watch. Yeah, did you want to tell him whether or not he's right? Or?
No, you're totally wrong. It was just all the miles that they've flown, just like Tim Roy said, they were just beat, and it was a chance for Kerr to sort of stick it to the NBA. So it was a perfect moment for that. So it's kind of like a great opportunity and opportunity taken.
I'll let it go. Do you want the final word on it?
I would just warn anyone to maybe never make a point apparently disagreeing with Bram in a show that he sets the agenda for, because he'll just repeatedly continue to bring it up until you try to back down.
All right, enough contentious topics, or at least that contentious topic. I'm sure we'll come up with something even uglier as we go forward. Probably not this one, though. We don't cover a whole lot of topics outside of the Warriors. We used to have that thing where we did like around the NBA, but that's a couple of years past. But I do have an NBA-based question that has very little bearing on the Warriors. Who's this year's MVP?
It can't be Curry.
I mean, what's your honest take? What do you guys think? Who should get it? I mean, the obvious candidates now are Kawhi, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. I'll throw in Curry. I love that idea. But most of the pundits aren't tossing his name into the arena. So on those guys, who walks away with this?
It's got to be Westbrook, I think. I mean, the guy averaging a triple-double, I never thought that would happen in my lifetime. Yeah. He's doing it in less minutes than Oscar Robertson did it. So that, to me... Yeah, hands down.
Do you agree, man?
Well, since it's being voted on by media, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Westbrook just as a prediction. Not that I think he should win it.
Yeah.
Because I'm in more of the Harden camp, in that you got to sort of lift your team up to a lofty standard that nobody else expected. But it's a vote, and triple doubles are like, you know, did you ever think about that? Like, what if our race had like six fingers on each hand and a triple double then that would be the, you know, you'd have to get 12, 12 and 12, but he didn't quite reach it. So then Harden would be like,
not only have I never considered whether or not I should have six fingers on each hand, but had I considered the six finger on each hand thing, I don't think I ever would have thought its specific impact on basketball stats. So, I mean, you're really bringing an entirely new view to this, which I have to give you credit for. Despite that unusual take, I will still agree with you, although mine's kind of a bastardized version of it. So I don't know how many years they've been giving out the finals MVP. I know it hasn't been for every finals, but let's say it's been 30. I don't know, whatever the number is. There has only been one instance in the history of the finals MVP award where it went to the losing player. So at least in some MVP races for the National Basketball Association, winning matters. You know, that's one of the things they have to consider. If that is a component of this, then I think you got to go Harden over Westbrook simply because they've won more games. I think that Westbrook's had a more outstanding season. I think he's done something we may never see again, and I understand the argument. But For me, personally, I do think that it's winning. Also, have you ever thought about what it could happen if he had three legs and what that would do to basketball? I mean, we don't have to jump down that rabbit hole now, but I'd like you to think that out if you can.
Well, if it was three arms, then that wouldn't have been double dribble on Steph the other night, right?
So, oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a great move and a great double dribble.
But back to the MVP thing. Well, I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? Everybody has their own opinion, and we don't really know what MVP means.
Right.
So, all right, I just let it be, and I don't really care who wins what. Just the championship, right?
Yeah, right.
That's what it comes down to.
Would you guys trade Steph for either of them?
Oh, man, you know me. I wouldn't trade Steph for anything.
Yeah.
I said that in the back when we started Let's Go Warriors.
That's true. Yeah, that's
actually accurate. I got a lot of credit for that.
That's absolutely right.
At the time, I said I wouldn't trade him for LeBron or KD.
Give us a non-homer take. Because, you know, I will obviously say no. And I can't, I honestly can't. I think I'm being honest with you when I say that. I think it's an objective measure. But I am so intertwined with this that even I don't know. So objectively, what do you think, Scotty?
I think Westbrook and Harden are the type of guys who are great basketball players who will never win an NBA championship. So I'd never want them on my team.
Yeah.
They fall in line with Allen Iversons, the Carmelo Anthonys, guys who just have this incredible talent but are never willing to make the adjustment to actually win.
Sure.
Be the type of player who can make their team win the championship.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And they wouldn't fit, again, from a selfish point of view. One of the things that's so great about this team is that they literally handpick players to fit within this system, right? I mean, the first thing that Kerr did was says, no, keep Clay. I do not want Kevin Love because he does not work within the rubric I've got going here. And just from that, and I don't think you could just plug in Westbrook. I don't think it, you know, the spacing wouldn't work. It's the same thing with Harden. You know, I think that Steph literally is the only head for this snake. It just works out perfectly, right?
One thing that really kind of gets lost in the shuffle is the culture that he brings, like that locker room ethic. It's totally different. Nothing we've ever seen before. And so he kind of sets that, and you can even see sort of Draymond molded into that in a way. So I just find that really, really compelling.
I read a story, and it reminded me a little bit of Jordan, but it also really illustrated the difference between him. So Jordan famously tried out for the varsity team in whatever the hell year it was in high school, junior, senior year, didn't make it, and then spent the rest of the time hating the high school coach, brought him to like the Hall of Fame speech and embarrassed him, and that was Jordan. I read a story about Curry, maybe a year ago. It was when everyone was getting their jerseys retired. So it was probably this year. I think it was when Klay Thompson got his jersey retired back in LA. Anyways, the story said that on Curry's junior year, he specifically tried out for the JV team. He didn't try out for the varsity team, and it was something he always regretted, right? And what it illustrates is Jordan always viewed himself as a superstar. And when he got to the league, he was a superstar, and that's exactly what he expected. He didn't bring joy to it. That's who he was supposed to be. He was there to destroy people. You know, Curry, this is something that's like found gold, and he deserves every single piece of it. But he didn't always view himself like that. And I think he brings a joy to this that almost nobody else could. And it kind of fits into what you're saying, you know, and we see it out there. He doesn't take any of this for granted. You know, he basks in every moment of it. And that's added to kind of the swagger in this really interesting way for the Warriors. And it fits right into the, you know, he's the perfect head to the snake. Also, I wanted to use the head for the snake line again. I really felt proud of that the first time. So I wanted to get back into it.
Well, good job.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. Yeah, I felt good about that. Is he approachable when you're at a Warriors practice? I mean, I would be terrified of talking to him. Are you? Like, does he make himself available?
Well, hey, every time I have a question that I want to ask him, you get those butterflies. So that's my kind of moment kind of thing that I go through every now and then. But he is more approachable than most players, I would say, just his personality. And even towards the end of an interview, if you have a question and Raymond Ritter's like, oh, okay, last question. I've been there where I'm like, I'm right after the last question. And Steph was like, no, go ahead.
He'll let you go.
Yeah. So he's just amazing. I can't even believe it sometimes. And I would love to talk to Dell, right?
Yeah, because sure.
That's where he got it from. Sure. Or maybe his mom. Who knows? I wish I knew.
Do you think you'd be able to ask him a question, Scotty? Like, well, if you're there for the, I mean, obviously you get used to it if you've done it for a while, but if you start showing up to Warriors practices next week, I think I could, but I'd be terrified for sure. And I would be overconfident, try to memorize something and then screw it up while I was giving it to him and try to start back over, you know? Would you be able to just shoot it out, do you think, or?
He seems like such an approachable, nice guy that I do think I'd be okay asking him a question. I feel less pressure asking him than I would Draymond or Clay, who just maybe is not even paying attention.
I feel like Clay and I have like a bunch of extracurricular activities in common, so we'd be able to associate on that level. But there's
like
a rabbit hole.
Sunshine's been good to you.
There's a rabbit hole we need not jump down. Instead, I have a brand new segment, one I've been kind of playing around with for a while. It is not yours yet. We'll get to it in a second. But this one is called Stolen Valor. So let me explain the title, then the concept, and then let's jump into it. Stolen valor, for those who have never heard the term, applies to when people pretend like they have a military background. They will literally wear military or Marines uniform, something like that, pass themselves off as if they've fought in multiple wars, and then somebody else will come out who did, in fact, serve in the Army and then call them out for it. And they are stealing that person's valor, right? The NBA, and here's the concept, is filled with hold-me-back guys, the far more common use of the term. People who want to look like they definitely want to fight, but when push comes to shove, it's the last thing they want to do. They are stealing valor, right? Now, let me say up front, I'm a stolen valor guy. I don't want to fight at all. I cannot fight. Every time I take shots at Scotty, I'm hella worried he's going to beat my ass. Like, I'm not a fighter. You know, so these aren't, I'm not trying to take any shots at these guys. I just think that they're occasionally making themselves seem a little bit more macho than they otherwise would be, right? So I'm going to give you guys scenarios as they present themselves. We had a couple this week, and then we decide whether or not these people would actually fight. Are they warriors, or are they stealing valor? All right. Couple of scenarios this week. One was a little bit more public than the other. At the end of a just ass-smashing victory over your Washington Wizards.
The first time they beat them all year.
Just an ass-smashing victory over them. JaVale McGree, or McGee rather, the shot clock is winding down. There's no time. Let's see. I'm sorry. I'm going to do a better job. I think we're up 20. There's like 30 seconds left, but the Warriors have the ball. So the shot clock's going to run before the game clock does. And JaVale takes a three. Pisses off the entire team, Scotty Brooks included, but the person who pissed off most was Brandon Jennings, who came and literally tackles JaVale out of bounds and then had this to say after the game.
It was very disrespectful. That guy didn't go to the rack, probably would have been worse for him. But, you know, a time like that, you know, I think you should just let the clock run out. I think it was already disrespectful that, you know, they were trying to get Draymond Green a triple-double. Steph was out there with 40, so I just felt it was disrespectful.
In terms of your teammates, what was said afterwards?
As far as what?
As far as what you did.
ain't nobody going to say nothing. I'm old school, so like I said, you better be glad he shot that three and then go to the rack.
In response, Matt Barnes had this to say, quote, Brandon isn't going to do anything. But I understand where he's coming from. I would just wrap somebody up in that situation. It is what it is, but he's not going to do anything. All right, which made me love Matt Barnes. So let's start with Brandon Jennings. Is Brandon Jennings the kind of dude who actually wants to fight out there, or is this stolen valor?
He definitely doesn't want to fight against JaVale McGee. Maybe if it was Isaiah Thomas.
Or like Steph or somebody like that. He seems... This is back when Brandon Jennings was much more of a difference maker, you know, when he had like 55 against us when he was playing from Milwaukee. But he kind of struck me as a dude who had like some toughness to him. I agree with you. I don't think he would like to fight JaVale specifically because, you know, they're 6 feet shorter than he is.
Although he did go tackle the guy.
He took him down. But I think Brandon would, in fact, fight. What do you think, Glenn?
Well, it's good to see he cared that much, you know. I mean, he was pissed. They were embarrassed, so... That's good. And when you're that frustrated, you might step over the line. So
you think he would have? He could have felt that next piece.
Might have just, you know, he might have went off the cliff there.
There are no Washington Wizards who are stolen valor.
I just knew 100% that you were going to say that. Do we even have to cover Matt Barnes? I mean, is there any question on earth at all that Matt Barnes is not a stolen valor guy? I mean, should we just go ask Derek Fisher and let him answer this question? Or
Derek Fisher, whoever was involved in the assault case he has going on, currently pending in New York. Yeah. Yeah. Matt Barnes, I love you, though.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Also, Matt Barnes, in case you listen to the show, that was not me speaking at all. This is Bram. You need to know that I have nothing but positive things to say about you. The second instance that is worth listening to is a little bit less public. So the Warriors had a great victory against Houston. They played my least favorite player on earth in James Harden. I don't know if you guys watched that game, by the way, but Fitz took a bunch of shots on him on TV. And Fitz is like the nicest dude on earth. So
Fitz is still taking shots at him even like games later. When somebody gets a real foul, he's still talking about how that's a real foul, not like a James Harden foul.
Which I normally am not a big Fitz guy, but I love that he took shots at him. But it turns out that Fitz wasn't the only guy taking shots at him. Harden has a very strange habit of pinching players, I guess, during the game. Not something I knew. And they asked Draymond Green about it, and this is what he had to say.
It's a clip, kind of mid-game clip floating around online about, you know, you were jostling with Harden and slapped down on the wrist. What was just happening?
He pinched me. So I punched his wrist. That's pretty much it. So, yeah. Like, here. So, he does it often, actually. Which is kind of adolescent, but whatever. No, guys aren't going around pinching people.
Were you there for that?
Yeah. He was pointing to his belly as far as where Harden was pinching him.
Was he pissed off? I mean, did it bother him?
No, not at that point. He was kind of laughing it off, kind of.
Well, I think we don't even have to talk about Draymond. Draymond is not a Stolen Valor guy. You know, go to any bar in Michigan State, ask around. They'll tell you immediately. Sure. But that does leave James Harden. And I don't know if James Harden is a Stolen Valor guy. Because of the way he plays and flops and all of that stuff, it's a very easy take, right? I mean, that would be the easiest assumption to draw. But he's got a toughness to him, and it pains me to say that, but I'm not positive that he would not fight. What do you guys think?
I don't know. He strikes me as a kind of a one-and-done guy. Like, he'll try to get in a quick shot at you and then maybe scurry off or hope that other people will come through.
Yeah, I don't know.
So he's like a wizard?
What?
Yeah, he seems like, you know, he once told me at Team USA practice that his beard is the moneymaker. So that's his, like, primary goal. So he doesn't want to ruin that. He's not going to get in any fights.
That's good knowledge. What was the question? What did you ask him? James, do you have a minute? And he was like, my beard is my moneymaker, and it made no sense to anybody.
Yeah, this was back when he grew out the beard, I believe. And so there was just, I forgot what I asked him, but he ended up saying moneymaker.
What? All right, fair enough. So where do we land on that? I say he absolutely could fight. I don't feel like any of us gave a definitive answer except for poor man's commish. You're saying definitely not. You're saying he'll throw a punch, but then immediately run away.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know if that qualifies.
That could be the definition of stolen valor. That might be an even better example than any of the ones we've pulled out before. All right, let's get to the main event and the reason we pulled you on, poor man's. We've got a whole segment based almost entirely around your access to the team. What we've asked our fans to do is send in questions, both who they would be to, what the question is, and then their suggestion on where you can ask it. You hopefully will be able to go out there, see what you can get, bring it back to us, and we play it out. Before I get to the questions that have already been sent in, give us a sense about what kind of access you have. So on any given week, can you, in fact, ask anybody any question we give you?
Pretty much. I would say the toughest part is during the scrums with the other reporters. You know, I don't ever really want to get in anybody's way. You got these high-paid reporters that are getting, fat checks from ESPN, right? Yeah. So I don't want to get in their way, so I'll let them all ask their questions, because plus they're under deadline pressure. So they've got to get those quotes in and build their story, write their story. I don't really have those. I don't have the gun to my head like that.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean that. Scott.
Or make him a highly paid person.
Highly paid, okay, yeah.
I think maybe the gun to the head is more...
It's more realistic.
Realistic.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I can ask, but it just depends on what type of question it is.
Sure.
If it's a question that's more casual, let's say, then yep. I'll maybe pick a time before the game, maybe in the locker room or... Maybe after the game. So it just depends what type of question
you can
it
pick
is.
Your spots. Well, fortunately enough, we'll be presenting you with three every time. You get to pick whichever one you want. And if you want to tap out entirely, then we'll hate you, but we'll understand. You know, I mean, it is what it is. And I should ask you this up front, man. Where are you from?
I am from the Bay.
All right. Grew up a Warriors fan?
Grew up in the South Bay in Sunnyvale.
Okay.
Grew up a Warriors fan. And then had season tickets, finally snagged season tickets. Then Weber got traded. So I went into hiding for a while. I was so mad at Cohan. And those Are You Smarter segments. So yeah. I would miss the entire Cohan era questions because I tapped out.
Fair enough. All right.
Was like reclusive.
But you do go
point.
Back
but,
and you've been watching this team since before they were good, at least.
Yeah, so it started with Golden State of Mind. Those guys were playing in my basketball league and I was at Summer League in Vegas watching Bellinelli go off, and I did a little scouting report and they said, hey, why don't you just go full bore? So that's how I got into it.
There you go.
that Summer Bellinelli.
Well, now you're part of the huddle, my friend. So, yeah, welcome aboard. Yeah, of course. And here are the questions we have. The first one is for Clay. The question is, who wins in a game of one-on-one, you right now or your father in his prime? This one's coming for me, I'll tell you right now. And my suggestion would be, if you can, ask it in front of a lot of people because I think it'll trigger his competitive response. Who knows if you feel comfortable, but that's question one. The second one,
that's actually been asked before.
Oh, you're breaking my heart. What was his answer?
But it may have been, you know, a year and a half ago.
Oh,
but you know the answer. He's going to be like, oh, for sure, me.
Well, let's hear it. And it was a stupid question a year and a half ago, but it's a great question now.
Yeah.
Scotty, you got one for him?
I'd like to know from Jaron Collins if the way the teams are basically switching all screens this year has really impacted Steph's ability to get an open jumper and kind of the offense in general, because I just have seen a real difference this year in the way that teams are guarding the Warriors, and they don't care if a big man switches on to Steph as long as it keeps him covered up from getting that open three.
Yeah. Where should he ask it?
I'd like to see him ask it anywhere. I don't think this is one that necessarily has a specific location.
Yeah, that's fair. And here's the third. You don't have to memorize them. We'll get them back to you. But at this stage, you're just picking one, right? Third one, this one's for Kerr specifically. What's the key going to be to getting Durant reinserted into the offense without interrupting their current chemistry?
That one will get asked.
I am sure. It's certainly not original.
So we won't waste that one.
All right, so we're causing that one. I mean, I was hoping you were going to knock another one of mine right off of the front, but okay. So that leaves
it two of them.
Between, well, it sounds like you've already made your call, which makes me hate you again, but between the one to Clay and the one to Collins, which one do you prefer?
Well, if the Clay one had been about the toaster, then I might have been. But anyways, the one Scotty had for JC, that one might actually be better towards Q, Bruce Fraser. Because Q's the guy that works with him on all the workout routines and coming off picks and stuff. I believe JC works more with the big man.
Okay.
I'm willing to adjust that.
So is that where it's going? Are you picking that one?
Yeah, I think I'll pick that one. It'll be a good opportunity to get in depth with Q for once. I haven't really spoken to him that much.
Know that I'm going to bring up the Clay question every single time you're on here until you ultimately ask it, but sounds like it's not going to be this one, so I'll try to take my loss well.
It's just stolen valor by Bram right there. Don't worry about
total,
that.
Don't make me play another quote about how terribly wrong you were about Kerr. I mean, I have them, too. I mean, we both know I can find a few more. Speaking of last-minute sound, this is our final segment for the day. I'm glad you've heard of Are You Smarter? Because we are going to introduce yet another contestant in an effort to bring down Mr. Jericho Faustino, the people's champ. Do we have the sound lined up, Scotty?
Yeah, we have Jeremy Brady here, who's going to introduce himself and let us know what he's all about.
Let's hear it.
My name is Jeremy Brady. Most people call me J-Bo. I'm 36 years old, and I'm born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area. How long have I been a fan? I've been a fan my whole life. My family is big Warriors fans, and my first memories are watching the 1991 playoff series against the Spurs. It was during the Run TMC era, and I just fell in love with the team. My favorite Warrior is Stephen Curry, because he's a god on the basketball court. He's revolutionized the game, and he brought us the first championship that I've witnessed in person. Because I wasn't around during the Rick Barry championship back in the day. My least favorite Warrior is probably a tie between Todd Fuller and Anton Jameson, mainly because they remind me of how horrible our drafting was during the Cohan era, and the fact that we could have had Kobe or Vince Carter, the half-man, half-amazing version of Vince Carter. Why am I smarter than a bandwagon fan? Mainly because I'm a super diehard fan, a season ticket holder. I suffered through the Cohan era, as I mentioned. I check Warriors World probably once an hour during the workday. I don't miss an episode of Warriors Huddle. I'm super excited when I see a new episode is available. Just love the show, love everything about the Warriors. Bram and Scott, you're doing an awesome job. Keep up the great work. Go Dubs.
So poor man's just in, at the off chance that you don't know what the hell we're supposed to do with this. This guy is now obviously going to go on and challenge our current champion, who is on a hell of a streak. He has won four straight.
I heard some of his answers.
Okay, there you go. Now, impressive. Based on what you heard from J-Bo, which I liked his taping, but the nickname J-Bo bothers me a little bit. I will say that. Based on what you heard from J-Bo, do you think he can beat Jericho?
Well, actually, I do know Brady. I know him as Brady. At least that's what his teammates call him. Where did J-Bo come from?
You're obviously not close enough to know him as J-Bo, so that is what it is. Don't let that affect your answer, though.
You got
to
earn that.
I've watched him play. He's a baller. So, you know, I'll give it to the baller. Yeah.
You know that they're not playing basketball in this game, though, right? Like, there's at no point will they even be touching a basketball. That doesn't affect you at all.
I thought we were going to go, bam, you know, all right. He sounds like a good fan.
You're taking him?
Yeah.
It's hard because he definitely has knowledge, I think. I mean, season ticket holder, goes back to 1991, so I feel like he could go answer a lot of questions to go back. But I've backed Jericho every week, and nothing yet has kind of convinced me that I should vote against the people's champ.
So still true now?
Still true.
Well, I've been very open about my distrust and just thought that Jericho is going to stumble at some point. I will not change that now. I'm looking for reasons why J-Bo can take him down. I liked how calm he was. He was not in a rush. Long intro, but calm. You know, the Antoine Jameson thing worried me a little bit. The idea that he put him in the same sentence as Todd Fuller, for example, seems unfair. I mean, Anton, outside of a weird spelling of his name, was a really good player. But look, I'm in. J-Bo, if we need to, we'll incorporate some basketball into this to make sure that you win. But I think he ultimately takes him down. I think it's a done deal. My money's on him.
We don't know what Jericho's basketball skills are, so don't be careful about throwing that out there.
That's factually accurate. With that in tell, you guys, huge fun every week. Certainly true this week. Please remember, we can be found at Warriors Huddle on Twitter. Our email account is at Warriors Huddle.
No, it's warriorshuddle@gmail.com.
I was just testing you, Scotty, and you passed my test. Congratulations, man. Nicely played. Poor man, where can we find you?
On Twitter's the best way, at Poor Man's Commish. And thanks, guys. I really appreciate
it. Oh, it's a pleasure having you on board. And remember, we're also on a bunch of podcasting services, including iTunes. Your reviews mean the world to us. Get out there. Give us a 5-star. Go Warriors. And hopefully, we'll see you next week.
Good, good.